Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard. I am here on Zoom with John Gower. Hey, John.
Hey.
He is here. We just chatted about his film, Ralentando, which is the previous podcast of this one. You should definitely listen to it and find out all about his film, which was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2019 and is in the Discover Indie Film TV series. I will quickly mention that you should go to Prime Video, anywhere you can get Amazon Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film and look at Season 3, Episode 8 for some hilarious comedies. That series on Prime Video is the best short films of the festival circuit, handpicked for a loving film audience. But this episode of the Discovery Indie Film Podcast is a four questions episode, and those four questions are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. I happen to know that John Gower is a man of demanding tastes and great sophistication, so I have no pressure, but I am looking forward to your answers. Feel free to tell me your favorite films.
Okay. I'm only going to give you two.
Fair enough.
You gave me three, but I'm only going to give you two because I feel like they were the most important films to me. That was A Clockwork Orange and American Beauty. So those
two
are two
fantastic films.
Yeah, those are two films that I can go back and watch once a year, and I feel like, unless I have some drastic change, which I'm supposed to, you know, statistically around the age of 50, and I should be able to go back and watch those every year and enjoy them until the day I die.
I can't tell you the last time I watched A Clockwork Orange from start to finish, but I mean, I saw it 5-10 times back in the day, and it's such a great film. So, I mean, I like that you picked that one out. My favorite Kubrick might be Dr. Strangelove, just for the Peter Sellersness of it all.
It is a truly great film.
It's truly great, but Clockwork Orange is...
That's the amazing thing about Stanley Kubrick, is he only made, you know, what, 11, 12 films in his life? That may be way off, but
if you go back to the 60s, it probably is. But I mean, I think after... From 2001 to the end, it was like six.
Yeah, exactly. And they were all amazing pieces of cinema.
One of the funniest comedies ever made. One of the best sci-fi ever made. One of the best horror ever made.
Launched the sci-fi genre.
Yeah.
Or put the sci-fi genre on serious footing.
That little film Star Wars wouldn't exist without 2001.
No.
Dude was a genius.
Yeah.
I still regret that his last film was the Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman one. But what are you going to do?
I mean, I think it's a great film. It sucks that it's his last one, but it was a good send-off.
I guess I got to hit it again because I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theaters. And I was like, how are you making me bored during an orgy? I should really be this.
No, watch it again. You know, now that we know about Jeffrey Epstein, now that we know about the Franklin scandal, now that we know about the way our elites act behind closed doors, it's interesting to watch that movie again.
Fair enough. Will I be able to handle their performances? Because Tom and Nicole, I kind of felt I have this image of...
Well, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I have this mental, in my imagination, Stanley was going home and telling his wife or whomever, God, these people cannot act. I mean, I just gave Tom Cruise like 200 takes, and each one was like more plastic than the one before. I don't know. I don't mean to be a dick about it, but.
Well, to be, like I said on the previous podcast, Stanley Kubrick chose some of the worst actors in cinema history to be in his grand works of art. Like the guy, the lead in Barry Lyndon, I forget his name. He was in The Love Story.
Patrick O'Neill. Albert Finney? Oh, no. Yeah. You're right.
What's his name? Ryan O'Neal.
Yeah.
Like, just a cheese ball of an actor. But Stanley Kubrick sees what he needs out of that person and goes, okay, this'll work, and makes him do 150 takes till he gets what he needs. In Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick, that's my opinion about Jack Nicholson too, by the way. Don't think Jack Nicholson's a great actor. When he got Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, whatever your opinions of Tom Cruise are, Stanley Kubrick was suddenly confronted with a great actress in Nicole Kidman. And that has to be hard to adjust. And she probably got burnt out very quick giving these, because she's very emotional. She's very like, and he's like, no, I actually need you to act more like a mannequin. I need you to, you know, Stanley Kubrick's characters are all very, they're sort of alien and detached. They're super real, maybe.
I'm going to have to watch it again. You are inspiring me, even though this is about you picking a Clockwork Orange, which...
Right.
And I would say Malcolm McDowell was a great actor. No? Oh, boy.
Have you... What else has he done anything great?
Caligula? No, I don't know.
I still haven't watched that, because I just...
Ludwig von... I got to admit that when he eats that spaghetti, it just makes me so hungry.
Yeah. I also am I'm a big fan of red wine, like a very light red wine that you can see right through. And in that scene where he's eating the spaghetti, he pours in that glass of wine and it is like you can see straight through it. And I always, anytime I see that, I'm like, oh, I want to just a big, good glass of light red wine right now.
Excellent. Well, I don't want to give American Beauty short shrift because, I think Sam Mendes does not get, even though he's made some, I don't think people realize that he's one of the best living directors we have.
Yeah. Yeah. He, if you had had most underrated director, he would be a good candidate for that.
Beauty in a way. So he hasn't had that commercial success since, right? But artistically, I mean, I think Revolutionary Road was just out of this world good.
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
Let's because a lot of the people that are watching this are probably based in Los Angeles. I will probably come off as a Philistine talking about film because I don't watch nearly as many films as people in Hollywood do, or people in
Don't watch films.
People in Los Angeles. Well, no, I mean, like, but they know about them. Everyone's talking about it. It's the industry there.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
when you're
all,
in LA,
they all say they love Cassavetes and they've never seen one.
Oh, sure, okay, but at least they know how to do that. Well, I don't. I just have to admit, every time I haven't seen a great film, I go, nah, sorry. So Revolutionary Road, I got to crop up on that list. But I'm a Nashville guy. That's why I don't.
Well, at least you're, but you are a Sam Mendes fan. So an American Beauty is probably flawless screenplay, and it's flawlessly acted and directed.
It really is flawlessly acted, directed, executed. The only thing that I find a little like takes me out of it when I go back and watch it is the CGI scene where he's laying in bed staring at the ceiling and the young girl is naked on the ceiling in the sea of roses. And it's when the petals start to fall, you can catch some of that like late 90s CGI going on. Like you see it. But other than that, it's a fucking perfect movie. I love it.
For me, it was the neighbor was Chris Cooper, right? Am I getting the actor wrong?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
But the neighbor's wife sometimes pulls me out of it.
She is disturbing.
She's a disturbing zombie. And I'm not sure that exists in real life.
Right. Well, no, it reminded me of Should I say, my family's not listening to this. It reminded me of my aunt. She was married to a Vietnam vet who was, he wasn't like that psychotic, strict, you know, emotionally abusive, but like it was a similar dynamic. It was a very gruff, you know, I've seen things. Ah, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Type of husband and a very, very quiet, kind, and caring wife.
Right, a woman who's been beaten down and subjugated for so long, she's become a shell of a human. All right, maybe I'm being overly critical then.
It is very exaggerated in the film.
For sure. Whereas a lot of the other characters are very fleshed out and human and real.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful film, great picks. Question number two was a film that's underrated.
I think Drop Dead Gorgeous is a very underrated film.
That's the beauty pageant film, right?
Yes.
Comedy.
Yeah. Most people that I mentioned that movie to have never heard of it. And if they have, they're like, yeah, right. Like, I saw that. Like, back in the... That was like back in the early aughts, yeah? And they don't know anything about it. It is one of the most, like, just laugh out loud, hilarious movies. It's that, you know, it was before The Office. It was before the docu-comedy style, and it was a docu-comedy. It really made it, it and it's so funny and so just, Kirsten Dunst is hilarious. That bitch, what's her name? The big grin. Denise Richards. She's fucking sinister and hilarious. Kirstie Alley, who I love now. if you don't follow Kirstie Alley on Twitter, run, don't walk to follow Kirstie Alley on Twitter. She's fucking hilarious. Yeah, just a great, great funny movie.
All right, I'm gonna watch it. I haven't seen it. Now I gotta watch it. Because it always did look funny.
You're going to have trouble with that. You're going to have to find a used or, like, out-of-circulation DVD. It's not on any streaming platforms that I could find. It's the copy I had to get. I had to, like, dig through Amazon. And it's one of those. You remember the DVD cases that you had to, like, click open the little... They were like cardboard, but you had to click open a little plastic thing and then open the cardboard. Yeah, it's one of those DVDs.
Got it. Well, I am completely against torrenting, but if they give me no option,
right? Okay,
sometimes
yeah.
I would. Sometimes I might know how to torrent, but I don't do it unless if they give me no other reasonable avenue.
He hasn't done it in 7 years and one day.
Years and a day. Although what I do sometimes, LA Public Library, here's a pro tip for cinema fans in LA, is you can just go on the LA Public Library website, put a movie on hold, they ship it to your local library, and then you just pick it up. I rip that DVD to my computer, and I watch it at my own convenience. On a big TV,
there you go.
Though.
Pro tip.
Yeah, that's my movie fan pro tip if a movie's hard to get. All right, I'm looking forward to your next answer, which is question three, which is a film that is overrated.
Goodfellas.
Fair enough. I don't want to piss too many people off, but I almost feel that Scorsese's whole career is overrated.
Thank you. I was about to say, honestly, everything after Taxi Driver, which... To be fair, I haven't watched everything after Taxi Driver because the first thing I watched was Goodfellas, and the second thing I tried to watch was Casino, and I turned Casino off 15 minutes in. I was like, I'm not going to listen to a narrated fucking movie. This is fucking annoying. Let's have the characters do some shit. Like, and just the whole, like, it's just sort of understood. I think Scarface is a very overrated movie, but Scarface is more... you know, young people like it, and they probably watch it again when they're like 30, and they're like, I understand why I liked it. But Goodfellas, people stick by Goodfellas. People, it's like, Goodfellas is like up there in the pantheon. And it was just a fucking, it's not a horrible movie, but it's not good.
Agreed. And that's actually what Overrated is about. Overrated isn't saying it's horrible. It's saying people put it on a pedestal where it doesn't belong. I mean, I actually think it might be, in my opinion, possibly even Scorsese's best. But I just gave away that I think most of what he does is for the paycheck. I mean, the guy's got to keep making films because Manhattan's not cheap to live in.
No, it's not, as he made clear in his recent Fran Lebowitz documentary, where he just sort of chortled at everything Fran Lebowitz said for 7 episodes.
I didn't watch it.
It was very odd. It was very odd. It was cool to meet Fran Lebowitz, who's not... Hey, everybody in New York and L.A., Fran Lebowitz is not a cultural icon anywhere else in America, just so you know.
Well, and most people haven't heard of her anyway. I mean, the average... Walk up to someone in the supermarket here in Sherman Oaks and say, how do you feel about Fran Lebowitz? And they're like, what, is she on the city council? What? Who is that?
Do we have a Jew running for city council? What's going on?
A New York intellectual. Okay.
Oh. Hmm. She's Fair also enough. A lesbian. Okay.
Right. Well, that helps with her gravitas for sure.
But no, yeah, Scorsese... Most overrated director out there, in my opinion. I don't know where his, like, I again, Taxi Driver, one of my favorite movies. I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. You have to, some of them, you know, but yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. The canon, and every time a new one comes out, and everyone's like, you gotta watch it. And I really give it a try. The Departed, The Irishman.
Man, The Departed was one of the worst. Like, so that
I couldn't
was
get
what,
into it.
That was what killed me on Scorsese, like, as a director, was everyone was, like, I remember The Departed being the film to see of the year. The monumental fucking film of 2000, whatever. And I watched it maybe 2 years ago. 2.5 years ago for the first time, and I was like, what? This looks horrible. It's got the most annoying aspects of 90s cinematography on full display. It's too bright. It's too saturated. It's like, and then I don't even care what it's about. I don't care about European ethnic minority gangs in major urban centers. Like, Francis Ford Coppola did it. He did it. Let's quit trying to reinvent the wheel here.
He did it, and then he should have stopped after the first one, but that's just another opinion.
Second one was good.
But it's not as good as the first. The first
it's
is
not.
Truly... But yeah, I know. Every time someone does the mafia movie, I'm like, is there actually anything cool about just like these guys? And the answer is no. I actually am way over them.
Yeah, because in the first, I mean, in what's it, The Godfather, you get, I think what's so appealing about that movie and the mafia movie in general is you have these people that are, you know, before it starts, they're criminals. You know you're going to see them do horrific things to other people. But the whole movie is about their austere moral code.
Yeah.
And you
and
get
their,
to
and
see
their family dynamic within that code.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you get to see that and you get to go, wow, it's interesting that I'm watching criminals whose lives are going to eventually fall apart, but I can admire through this writer director's lens their integrity, so to speak. It's a weird little mind fuck.
It is.
But after you do that a couple of times, it's like, okay, right.
Yeah, I don't need more of it. I don't know. I don't want too many people to hate me, but yeah, I didn't get Sopranos either. So anyhow, I never
watched it.
I tried.
I watched an episode and a half.
I've seen the first episode. I think I might have given it a good three tries to like get into that show, and I'm like, eh, I get it. Italian guys have accents on the East Coast.
That's part of the appeal.
It is. I don't know. I'd rather read a Fran Lebowitz essay.
Or a Joan Didion essay.
There you go, dropping the heat. She wrote the White Album, right? That thing. Okay, so anyway.
Yeah. Slouching Towards Bethlehem, the White Album, both great collections of essays on the boomers in the 60s at the time. If you want to start cracking the facade of the hippies and the boomers and their whole thing, read those two collections of essays.
For sure. All right, well, the last question is a lesser-known film that people should seek out.
Again, I may sound like a Philistine because I live in Nashville, and this is a completely unknown movie in Middle America. The House of Yes, starring Parker Posey and, oddly enough, Freddie Prinze Jr. Great fucking film. Have you seen it?
I saw it. Yeah, that is a great fucking film. I have a Parker Posey, not obsession, but I just think she's kind of a perfect human.
If I was not gay, I would have a huge crush on her from a distance.
Yeah. And I mean, I can have like a pan. Yeah. She's wonderful. And, she's so great. She makes the Josie and the Pussycats movie worth watching, which if you haven't watched, I'm going to demand you watch.
Okay.
Cause it's actually good. And Parker Posey is genius as usual.
As usual. Can do no wrong.
She really can't.
She can sign up to do the wrong movie, but within that movie, she's doing everything right.
I'll wait till we stop recording and I'll tell you my one Parker Posey story. She said she was brilliant at a Q&A after Personal Velocity, which you might want to look up too. It's a great little indie that Rebecca Miller made. You know, Rebecca Miller, that unknown filmmaker whose father was the playwright Arthur Miller and husband is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea.
It was really hard for her to get a film made.
Damn, I was hoping Daniel Day-Lewis was gay.
He might be.
I never really looked into it because I just didn't want to be disappointed.
You know, he could be pan. He could just love humans for being humans.
Well, that doesn't...
then help.
I'm not interested in that. For Christ's sake. Like I said, I grew up in Tennessee. I don't have time for that kind of thing.
You don't... No, there's no nuance.
No. We're either getting married or we're just fucking and you need to leave after a couple of days.
Understood. All right. Well, I think we have finished up your noble list. And thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, sometimes the films that people list out, I get to see how it inspired their filmmaking. But I guess I've really only seen Rallentondo, so I don't even, maybe Drop Dead Gorgeous and Rallentondo are, maybe there's a thread between them there.
There's definitely a sense of humor in common.
For sure. All right, well, you want to tell the people where to find all your fine work?
Yeah, you can find my films and, you know, video work so far on YouTube. If you look up Tone Deaf Productions, you can find my music. If you look up Johnny Gowow and the Japanese Cowboys, excuse me, my GoPro is in the process of dying.
Oh, it's running out of battery.
You can find my podcast on Apple or Spotify. It's called Near Dark Radio, where we document the apocalypse.
Yeah, it's actually
in real time.
It is a great podcast where you cover really all the a lot of eclectic topics. You really mix it up. So I can highly recommend this for people. And you should check out Near Dark Radio, the podcast, and give it 5 stars wherever you find it.
Right.
And now I'm going to spiel on my shit and say, give this podcast 5 stars, subscribe to it. You know, move it to the bottom of the page, subscribe.
Now.
Whatever. Give it 5 stars right now and have fun with it. And also, Discovery Indie Film spawned a TV series that's on Prime Video right now. So go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discovery Indie Film. And if you go to season 3, episode 8, you will see John Gower's film, Ralentando, which I promise you is funny. And as one person in the audience learned, you are allowed to laugh at every line in the film.
Correct.
And if you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series or both, the website's discoveryindiefilm.com and the social media is at DIFWINS. And hey, I met John at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. That happens every November. And you can learn about it at ShermanOaksFF.com and at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And there's a sister festival every June that is FilmInvasionLA.com. It's called Film Invasion Los Angeles. I forgot to mention that part. And you can learn about Film Invasion LA on social media if you go to at Film Invasion LA. And I think that is it for the spiel. Yeah, I covered all the topics. Ask for the reviews. Go on Amazon Prime and give, particularly the season that John's film is in, give season 3 5 stars. Amazon should, if a back massager that people use to masturbate can have 1,000 5-star reviews, so can this TV series. Man, I just...
Can I tell you a funny story? Because, of course. So this is one of the things about podcasting that I'm trying to implement on mine, but I'm always forgetful, is right after you do your spiel, you always want to have a little extra for everybody so that they get used to that, so that they listen to your spiel to get to the extra, so they keep getting that shit drilled in their heads. Because if you do the spiel at the very end, they'll just realize that that's all of it, and they'll tune out. So, funny story. I found my mother's back massager.